pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Koopalings, and welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast, recording a day early because I'm going away for 2 weeks. Thank you for being flexible today, Donnie. How are you doing?
Certainly. Greetings, Koopalings. I'm good. I hate to come and dump on the show once again, but I'm still having a terrible week.
Last week
didn't get any better, it got worse. I've been texting friends of the show. They know all about it, but today has been the best day of my week so far.
So going back up, right?
We're improving.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, though.
Yeah. It's just been one of those things, man. Everything just keeps breaking. I feel like every day I've woke up this week, I've woke up having to spend like $1,000. Every day.
That's
like, here's something else that's going to cost you $1,000. Like, you knew that I was planning on taking like a vacation, and like we're having to alter those plans because I'm having to fix so many things.
No. Oh, that's a
yeah.
Bummer.
So anyway, I'm in good spirits though. I haven't let it take that away from me.
What's been good about today?
I've got to play some video games. I've been out and about today. I was doing like some car maintenance. I was under a car earlier today, like working. But it's like a billion degrees outside.
How can you be out and about under a car in this economy?
Because I had to. Again, my week has sucked this week because I had to, because I didn't have a choice. I got through with that, I went out driving around, listening to music, running some errands. I got a decent little lunch. You've just been in better spirits. I got home. I'm about to cook dinner after Shaq.
Nice.
But yeah. It's turned What's around, got a shower, you know, got clean, just feeling a little better.
What's for dinner tonight?
Pizza and salad.
Can I come over?
Sure, certainly. It's just Jack and I. My wife is singing and Victoria is going, I don't know, downtown to see a play or something with her friends from band. So, yeah.
I'll be right over after the show.
Pretty chill.
What have you been playing today or this week?
Funny thing, we were talking last week about Pikmin, and you were telling me how you don't like the minigame. What's it called?
The Dandori battles?
Yeah.
I didn't say I don't like them. I don't like that it's split screen.
Split screen, sure. And of course, the immediate mission that I started playing right after our podcast was my first one of those. Like the very, I was like, oh, this is what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either. For all the reasons that you said. Yeah, I 100%. Just concur with your criticism there. I don't know why it's split screen.
It's not a bad mode. Sense. There's no reason why it needs to be split screen and single player. And I just think like it's fine, but I think that the bingo battle was more interesting in Pikmin 3. I don't know if you remember that one where you had to get certain things on your map to get bingo. You weren't just trying to get as many things as you can as fast as you can. You were trying to make, you know, a more row strategic. Or a column or a diagonal. So, yeah, you kind of had to think about with what you were getting is not just the most points, but is it going to be good for my board?
I just don't like that they made it like part of the campaign.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, why am
like
I doing this?
A couple in every
kind of jarring
area.
It's like, this is not what I want to be doing. I don't give a
I think it's also it. Supposed to drive the plot a little bit because every time you do one of those, you get one of those fuzzy castaways.
Yeah. You rescue somebody.
Yeah. But have I could you figured just not... out what to do with those fuzzy castaways yet?
No, because like I said, the week that I've been having, I haven't played a whole lot. I finished the entire first map and I've been working on the second map. So I made a little bit more progress, but that was like last weekend. I have not played it since. I have found another game that I'm playing. That I'm enjoying a lot, but I feel bad that I like am not playing Pikmin. I even thought about it today. I was like, I haven't played Pikmin. I really need to get back to it. It's just, I don't know. The week has been too stressful and too busy, and I just haven't.
You don't want to go into it having a bad experience because you're having a bad week.
Yeah. And, you know, like it's a pretty chill game. I don't know. I just haven't thought of sitting down with it. Okay, so this past year, I've been wanting to play some Warhammer games because I don't know a whole lot about them, and it's like a really big series, and I typically enjoy, you know, like some shooter stuff. So I've been playing Warhammer Space Marine, just juggling in between games, just doing a couple missions, and I've enjoyed it. It's a lot like Gears of War. And I'm on the 40K Reddit, and I got a notice that there was a game on sale and that it's a sequel to the game that I'm playing, and basically like a prequel to the upcoming game Space Marine 2 that's coming out this fall. And I was like, that's cool. So let me look into this. It's called Warhammer Bolt Gun, Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun. It's on Switch. It's a boomer shooter. It's everything that like I could possibly hope for.
That's and a Donnie game.
I've been playing it for like 3 hours, and it is everything. This is probably my favorite shooting game on Switch.
Oh, that's exciting.
This is the best shooter on Switch.
Is
it's incredible.
Like online multiplayer, or are you playing single player?
No, it's just single player campaign, just Doom game. It's like if they made like a Doom, like an old school Doom game, but like Gears of War, and like that's what this is. You get this.
That's cool.
So Gears of War has the chainsaw, right? And this game has a chain sword. So it's like the same idea, but it's like slightly different.
A chain sword.
It's a sword that with a saw blade on it.
That sounds badass.
And it does the meat hook thing from Doom to where when you lock onto an enemy with the chain sword, you can grapple to them. So it'll like sling you across the map. So it has like a lot of uses for movement. But also when you get within range of the chain sword, you kind of enter like bullet time. Everything slows down so you can see bullets like whizzing by you and like blood and everything. And then you hit them. And if you hit them, you can keep hitting them. So then like blood starts squirting everywhere. And it has a lot of like bloom effects, and all the monsters are like green and pink and purple. So you have like all of this colorful stuff going everywhere all the time. And it's very Warhammer. It's like for the rimp, it's amazing. I've just been playing it out of like, one, I found out that it was like a prequel. Two, I started playing it because I was like too stressed to play Pikmin, which I don't understand. Like, that's where I was. Like, I was on the brink.
You needed to beat some people up is what you needed.
Like it's sorely needed. So I found this game. It was on sale on Games Billet. I don't know. I got it. I'm playing it. I got it. I don't know. It's like $15. I'm playing on the Ally. Okay. It's on Switch. And it's just awesome. It is. There've been a lot of these little games that I've enjoyed, and Dusk and certain other things. This is the best of them. There's no like, it's got hidden areas and secrets to find and all that good stuff. And like, if you want to do the nooks and crannies, it's got a lot of platforming. You can do a lot of jumps. You can do a lot of like chain sword zipping around and stuff like that. But it doesn't have like any fluff. There's no like armor swapping or you know, weapon classes or
that's good. You
skill
don't want
trees
to be too,
or level. Like it just is what
it
is.
Too much. Yeah.
Just here's a shotgun. You have a chain sword that saws people in half. Go wreck havoc.
I feel like so many games now want to try to do everything. Like they want to try to do skill trees and crafting and open world, and they want to just hit all those like check boxes, and it can be a lot. So it's kind of nice to see a game that is more focused in its identity.
It's on sale right now on Switch for $18. It's originally like $22, I think. And it's just hitting the right notes at the right time.
Good.
So I've just been playing it. And like, it's kind of all I want to really be playing. And that's probably more why I haven't played Pikmin.
After the 2 weeks that you've had, I don't blame you for gravitating towards that type of game and, you know, kind of saving the Pikmin experience for when you're ready for it. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's it.
That's good. Good. I'm glad that you've been enjoying that. No, I think when you do go back to Pikmin, you will have a good time with that. It sounds like you're not super far into it yet, no. which is okay. It's not a long game. You'll play it. You'll get to it.
I heard people saying they've played it like 30 hours or something. Kevin said he's like 4 credit scenes or whatnot.
So there's, like I said last week, there is substantial post game, I think, that is like double the length of the regular game. Yeah. Yeah, it's more areas. There's like some throwbacks to Pikmin 1 and 2.
Nice.
Good stuff. I haven't really gone back to it myself. I did like a little tiny bit of the post-game area, well, like the first post-game area, but I don't want to burn myself out on Pikmin. I want to come back to it, you know, maybe in a couple weeks, couple months to like do the post-game stuff. I just don't feel like doing it after plowing through it for review.
Sure.
Which is kind of standard for me. I have, however, been eyeing up some more indies that I've really wanted to play. I played a little bit more of Mother 3, first of all, on stream. I'm still going strong with that game. I haven't gone back to Final Fantasy 6 yet, just because I haven't been streaming a whole lot, but I do plan to keep playing both of those. I have not gone back to Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals. I have every intention to finish that game.
You do?
I don't know. After our conversation, I was just like, I don't know. But
did you hear Delvin? Did you hear Delvin?
Yeah, I heard went on
PSVG.
No.
He finished it.
Yeah, what do you think?
He was like, "Is all right." I believe he said his words were, "I didn't hate it."
Oh no! Now you're making me even less when I go back to it. Oh my gosh! So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a long game.
I deleted it right after our conversation. I opened up the Switch and it was there. Like, if the game was there, and I instantly deleted it.
That's sad.
And it is what it is.
It's not a long game. Like, I plan to finish it, honestly.
Swing and a miss.
I think next time I like sit down with it, I will finish it, because I played most of it. I think I played more than half of it. I'm trying to like fix my atrocious camera right now. I am getting into another indie game that I've been wanting to play for quite a while. Have you ever heard of Lil Gator Game? This came out at the very end of last year. I played maybe about, I don't know, half of it. It's also not a super long game. I think it's less than 10 hours. This has been on my radar for a while because I have been told that it is a lot like a cute Zelda-like, not really Zelda-like, indie adventure. And I'm trying to explain it because that's how it was described to me, but it's really not Zelda-like. The reason why it was described to me like that is because they make a lot of Zelda references, and it's about this little alligator boy who is a kid, and his sister, you know, grows up and goes to college, and he keeps wanting to play the way that they played when he was really little, which is kind of acting out the Legend of Zelda. They never say Legend of Zelda, but they say like the Legend of Hero.
Sure.
And so she's home from college, and he really wants to relive that with her. And so him and his friends all kind of set up an adventure, but she's really working on this group paper and she doesn't want to, you know, join in. She's like, oh, just go have fun. And you get to run around the island as him, like collecting, you need to find a sword, which is like a stick.
I see he's got like a little friends. Tunic and a shield and a slingshot. I'm looking at the,
yeah, it's the not Zelda-like, but it's, you're acting as if you're a kid playing Zelda.
Sure.
And it's super cute. The dialogue is super casual. But then like, as you're playing, your friends kind of start to get bored of it too, because like you realize they're kind of growing up and they don't want to play the same way anymore. And it's like this kind of charming adventure about like growing up and like wanting to keep that kid energy inside of you, sure. Like to play like imaginary. They set up these hand-drawn enemies that are just cardboard around the island, and like you have to beat them up and stuff, but like then your friends don't take it seriously. They're like, oh, like I'm gonna send you on a fetch quest, go get me that thing over there, I really need it. It's like kind of making fun of some of the tropes in Zelda. But it's so cute. It plays really well. There's like, you know, cute unlockables. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm challenging myself to play more indie games that have been on my radar for a while. And this is one of them on the list. I'm really into indies that are like under 10 hours, especially.
Sure.
And, that was one of the first ones that I picked, and I'm gonna play it to the end. Yarden says, guys, stop telling Rebecca everything is like Zelda. That's definitely the way to get me to play it. But like, I almost wish Rebecca, like it wasn't
Warhammer 40,000 like bolt gun. It's kind of like Zelda.
Well, when people tell me something is Zelda, like that actually makes me like not less likely to try it, but like I have very high standards for my.
I'll be more judgmental. Games. Of course.
Yeah.
That's like, that's my thing with Oceanhorn.
Yeah.
Like Oceanhorn really is like, it's kind of like Zelda, but it's not good enough.
The only Zelda-like that I have played that I genuinely enjoyed every second of it was Blossom Tales.
Yeah, that is a good Zelda-like.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you there. Because, like, yeah, when people tell me, like, oh, it's like Zelda, then it needs to be good.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not good.
This is not like Zelda. Have you played A Short Hike?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like that game. It plays like that game. It has, like, kind of the same tone as that game. Just very cute, casual, explore around the island, find stuff, complete your objective. Same kind of art style. Like, I'm shocked that it's not the same developer. I don't think it is. But I am really enjoying
it. I had it up. I added it to my wish list. I'll grab it when it goes on sale.
Yeah, do it.
I think Playtonic published it, but I did not catch the developer.
Okay.
I saw the other Playtonic games, like Demon's Turf and stuff like that. So I know that it's a part of theirs. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way. When somebody tells me it's Zelda, like, it almost raises the bar. I'd almost rather than they don't.
It needs to have its own identity for sure.
Yeah. Because if it's not good enough, like the Oceanhorn's like, we have Zelda at home. There's Oceanhorn. Although I'm going to try to play the Oceanhorn, the Skyward Sword one. That's Oceanhorn 2. It's coming to PC and console soon. I'm going to try it again. I tried it on Apple and it was not great. I'll try it again because I'm a sucker. Yeah. Folks are saying Death Store, which I loved.
I need to finish Death Store. I started that one. It got a little tough for me. I put it down, didn't come back to it. But I would like to finish that one because I really like Crows and Ravens. So I want to finish that one. Indie games. I'm going to play more of them. So look forward to my indie recommendations. Anything else before we jump into This Week in Nintendo?
No, I'm good.
We have a brand new exciting Splatfest to talk about in Splatoon 3. They're bringing back an old one and adding a third option to it. This time you can choose between money, fame, and love. Which value is most important to you? I could not think of a more boring Splatfest theme if you held a gun to my head, to be honest.
Well, they've done this one before.
They did, yeah, they did team money versus team love in Splatoon 2, and love won, so they're recycling ideas and adding a third option.
They just grabbed the last one, and they're like, let's add one more in there. They should have added peace instead of fame.
It's just bad options. Like, it's so boring. Everyone's going to pick either money or love. It's going to be very one-sided. It's just bad.
You think so? You don't think anybody's going to pick fame?
What good is fame if you don't have money?
Yeah, I guess one begets the other. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't put much thought
into it. I don't know either. It's going to take place August 12th through 14th. It's super lame. And the one-year anniversary of Splatoon is coming up, and I want them to go all out for it, and I don't want it to be something stupid.
They should have, like, Pikmin versus Yoshi, or Resident Evil versus Silent Hill. You know, Suda 51 versus Kojima.
Yeah.
Like, we could do this for days. We could make this so much better.
Yeah.
Bowser versus Reggie. Right? Doug versus Reggie. Choose your fighter.
I wonder if for the 1 year anniversary they'll do like the
Splatoon 1 versus Splatoon 2 versus Splatoon
Callie 3. And Marie versus Marina and Pearl versus Fry, the other one, and Big Man.
Yeah.
Shiver. I'm going to participate. I've been getting back into it, grinding for the catalog, and I get mad every time I play it because I lose a lot.
I get mad.
And then it raises my blood pressure, and then I need to like go take a bath. Shadow dropped this week on Nintendo Switch Online. quite timely, in fact, is Zelda Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons via the Game Boy Library. These games originally released in 2001. They're available now. Donnie, I don't know if you noticed, but if you watched the trailer or booted up the game, the color palette is different than the original releases. It now has muter color tone to it.
Does it have like filters that you could change? Like they did that with some of the Game Boy stuff. You could have like a Game Boy color filter or a gray and black filter. And
I don't think so.
I've never played these games.
I heard somebody say that the reason why they might have done this is to give them kind of their own distinct art style from Link's Awakening. I think it looks nice. No, because if you go on the trailer, I didn't see it on the game. If you go on the trailer itself, the colors are all muted. And I watched
I would like to see I'd like to see a side by side on like OLED versus regular Switch. I'm wondering like maybe the OLED made it too.
Like, no, it has nothing to do with the OLED screen.
I know. I was wondering if like on the OLED, if it was like saturated because of it being OLED, maybe they toned it down a little. Because maybe they thought it looked too bright or too saturated on OLED.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to come up with ideas. I don't know why they would want to do that.
I don't know either, but if I see a side-by-side comparison, I'll send it to you because it's pretty noticeable.
They've done stuff like this before, but
yeah,
that was when their emulation wasn't as strong as it is today. I don't understand why they would do it today.
I think you should absolutely play these games. A lot of people have the incorrect idea that they are like Pokemon versions where it is the same game and slightly different between them. That is not true. They're two totally different games with two totally different stories and dungeons and plots and characters and everything. And they are some of the best top-down Zelda games by far.
Are they companions? You need to play one before you play the other?
No, you can choose any order. And when you beat one of the games, it gives you a code that when you start the other game, you can put in that code and it carries stuff over. So you get the same file name, some decisions that you made in the first game carry over. I think you start with an additional heart, and not just that, but it unlocks additional storylines and gets you to the true ending.
Cool.
But it doesn't matter which one you pick first. You can do either one.
Yeah, Ages
focuses
these
more on puzzles. Seasons focuses more on combat.
I've bought these on Virtual Console, I think a couple times, and I've just never played them. I generally, I like 2D Marios and 3D Zeldas. So I just never got the urge to dive in. And it's probably the same reason why I've never finished Minish Cap. I just got to be like in that mood and then at that time want to do something like that. And plus going back, when we have so many options of like 2D Zelda likes, like Death's Door and Tunic and the things we were just talking about. I don't know. I've just never gone back. This is a blind spot in my Zelda play. I've never played.
Did you like the OG Link's Awakening?
I never played it until the remake.
Did you like the remake?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't like the Dreamscape and stuff, but the game overall was, it was pretty good.
I think you will like these more than Link's Awakening. I do.
I did not like I think there's a lot of people out there that when Link's Awakening remake was announced, there was a lot of people talking about how Link's Awakening was like their favorite Zelda. Couldn't come close to mine.
No.
Like I liked it, but it's not like up there. It's not on the pedestal or anything like that.
I never understood why people say that. I mean, I think it was very important at the time. I think it's irrelevant with Seasons and Ages, to be honest. I think that, how we say, well, you don't say, but I say Breath of the Wild feels irrelevant after Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's how I also feel about Link's Awakening and the Oracles.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's good. I mean, I've got them on my little Game Boy thing here. I could play them there, play them on my Switch. I don't want to say I will because I probably won't, but. You never know. Maybe I'll get in the mood to give it a try one day.
If you have that top-down Zelda itch, try them out.
Sure. This was that Zelda thing that Jeff was talking about, maybe?
I don't know. He said he came out afterwards and was like, maybe this is it. I didn't know what it was. I just knew there was something.
Okay.
But the thing is, we already knew that this was coming because you know how they do like that tease of games that are coming to the service?
Yeah.
Like it was already in the tease. Like it was just a matter of time before these were added this year. We just didn't know when. So okay. I think that would be pretty like, that's not a prediction. That's a, I watched a trailer a while ago and remembered.
Okay.
But that's probably what it is.
Yeah. And it's not like him to be like all cagey and cryptic like that. Yeah. Maybe this is it or not. I hadn't seen that yet, but I remembered that he said there was some Zelda thing. And when this happened, I was like, oh, that must have been it. But yeah, there were people excited. And I hate sounding like I'm not, but yeah, I'm just, I hadn't played it before. So I can't imagine being excited to play it now. You know, it's not for a lack of access. I've got it. I've got it hand over fist. I think I've got it on Wii U. I think I've got 3DS. Like I've got it on emulators and ROMs, and I've got it everywhere. I just never actually tried to play it.
I am going to be playing. I said this is a timely addition because Z-Youthon, Zelda Universe's Charity Marathon, I think I mentioned this last week. I'm participating for the third year in a row, and I am playing Oracle of Seasons for it. That's on awesome. August 6th. So we'll talk about the show schedule for the next couple of weeks, but it will be easier, I guess, to practice because it has rewind. I've been playing on my Analog Pocket. So yeah, if you're interested in checking out those games on August 6th, I'll be playing Oracle of Seasons, followed by Josh Jepsen playing Oracle of Ages on Z-Youthon. So you can check it out if you're unsure about the games. In its opening week in Japan, Pikmin 4 sold over 400,000 copies. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that is the biggest sale, launch day sale, or launch weekend sale for Pikmin in Japan. This is only counting physical sales. Nintendo doesn't reveal its digital sales data with how big digital gaming is in Japan. I would imagine that's a much bigger number.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Pikmin 4's 400k launch sales are good enough to beat the launch week sales of every mainline Pikmin game before it combined. So it's not just the best one, but everyone combined as well. That is pretty impressive, actually.
That's, I think, good that's news,
the power,
right?
Of the Switch. Power of the Switch.
I feel like the headlines about Pikmin was like, it's a great game, but we'll probably never get another one. I don't know why people were saying that.
I don't know why people were saying that.
But I saw that. I saw that going around and I was like, well, this has got to be good. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, overall, but like, if it's not counting digital, then I got to think that Pikmin 4 is at least going to go over a million, or at least if not a couple.
And just, remember, this is just Japan. Too.
Just Japan. Yeah. Like if there are almost a half a million in just Japan, then you got to give Pikmin 4 a couple million. That's got to be pretty sweet for Nintendo.
I think there will absolutely be a Pikmin 5.
Like, could it outsell Metroid Dread? Probably. Maybe. Be like right there nearby it, right? It would be in the same ballpark.
Well, I might as well read this headline now that I added to the notes. A new interview with Mercury Steam developers confirmed that Metroid Dread has sold over 3 million copies. Do you think Pikmin 4 will sell over 3 million copies?
I'm just thinking if it got 400,000 physical in Japan.
In the first
weekend. I would probably guess that it's probably twice that overall in just Japan.
Yeah.
If it sold 400,000 in physical, it had to sell a few hundred thousand digitally. At least. Yeah. I feel like I'm being conservative. I could go higher. So I would give it probably a million in its first week. Then you give it a few weeks. People are still going to keep buying it. Maybe it goes on sale for Black Friday. Yeah, I mean, 3 million might be the high end, but I would probably say that this thing ends up somewhere between 2 and 4 million. So
that'd be great.
I wouldn't write Pikmin off yet.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's a really great game.
When I have played it, I have enjoyed it quite a bit. I really have. I think Ochi is, he's the thing. Like, that's the star.
Ochi,
like,
needs to stay.
Yeah, that can't go anywhere. Like, yeah. Ochi has to stay. Or you got to replace it with an Ochi-like. I got to have a cart or something. I got to do something. You got to give me something, because that really changes the way, the impression I have playing the game. Like, my reward for playing. It does not feel quite as much of a slog as I as I've seen with the older ones. Pikmin 3 didn't feel that way, but like even this one is a bit sped up compared to even that. So yeah. I like it a lot.
Good. Yeah.
Yarn says a cat next. Perfect.
That would be great. Yeah, I'll buy perfect. 10 copies. There is some interesting discussion about Sakurai on the future of Super Smash Bros. I think he said this on his YouTube channel that he posts on.
Yeah.
Okay. It's inevitable that a new Super Smash Bros. Game will commence development in the future. He's currently unsure of what direction Nintendo will decide to take the series, stressing that he can't imagine new titles without his involvement. So here's a lengthy quote from Sakurai. The question now is what happens next time? I mean, whatever comes after Smash Ultimate. One option would be to separate the series from its original creator, but for now at least, I can't imagine a Smash title without me. You might think that's a natural stance for someone in my role, but I say so speaking objectively. I feel the same way President Iwata did when we formed the team for Smash Brawl. At present, we don't have somebody who can simply take the reins. Smash Bros. Is a massive, important title for Nintendo, so it's fair to assume there will be another one at some point, but it's going to take some work to figure out exactly how to make that happen. For my part, I'd like to keep working with Nintendo however I am able. What do you think?
I mean, we've talked about this for a few years now. I don't think they're going to do Smash without Sakurai. It doesn't make any sense. If he's willing and able to do it, he's going to keep doing it. I mean, look at Miyamoto. He's still out here doing shit. Like, yeah. Sakurai's not going anywhere unless he wants
to. I think he will work himself to death, literally, eventually.
Yeah. The future of Smash, though, is an interesting one. I think they're probably going to push and kick the can down the road. I think you've probably said this as well. They're going to like Mario Kart 8 Smash Ultimate on the next system. They're going to release another one with all the DLC. Maybe they throw in like some special non-existent thing, like some costume or something, and they're just going to release it. And like, I feel like Smash Ultimate in the current form we have is going to be what we have for a long time.
I agree.
I don't know what they do after that. How do they follow this up? I mean, I feel like you have to change the formula in a major way, because otherwise anything you do with a lesser roster is going to look inferior if you're beholden to like that classic Smash style.
Do you see Sakurai changing it on such a broad level like that?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
So I'm wondering, like, if they had like an enhanced version, would they ever get to the point like they did with Mario Kart 8 where they open up more fighter passes and they add to it?
I'd
see something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of room for it to grow in the single player department. I would love to see like Subspace Emissary or something come back. That'd be great. But like, that's not what
they should take.
But that's not what people play Smash, though. People play Smash for competitive Smash Brothers fighting game. And I've heard so many people like, go back to the basics. And that, I feel like that's been a trend for fighting games. I don't think you can do that after Smash Ultimate. You can't go back to like, here's Smash and our 10 characters.
No.
Dude, go play
64 in Melee.
Yeah, people would have a riot. So I think you got to, if you're going to try to do something like that, you got to, I don't know how, but you got to reboot it somehow. You got to like change the perspective or the size of the character. I don't know. But I also don't think they have to figure it out, because I think Smash Ultimate is still as great today as it was when it released. And there's room for them to just keep selling it in the future. So I think they've got time to try and figure it out, but. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel for them. This one is actually a conundrum, because in Mario Kart, you can just make new courses.
Yeah, I think it's hard to just keep adding characters and characters to Smash, because there's serious balancing issues that will get harder and harder with each character you add.
Yeah, yeah. And they have balance issues already with characters that you know, you can't play with in certain competition and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what they do. I've thought in the past, I was like, would they ever go like a Tekken way? Would they ever go with like a, you know, like a 3D style? Or would they ever go, you know, like more of like a classic 2D, you know, Street Fighter, or like they zoom in a bit more? But like all of that, every time I think of those ideas, then like it's not Smash anymore. Mm-hmm. Like Smash is what it is. And yeah, I don't think they can go away from it.
I think changing it too much would make people unhappy. Yeah,
exactly. So I think what they got to do is, I think you extend the runway for Smash Ultimate. You add in a better solo player campaign, maybe a new mini game system that can like attract people. And I don't think you do another Smash Brothers until you have like a good 10 or 15 new characters that you can introduce with 10 or 15 like old characters that you that are mainstays. So
that's a lot. Can you think of 15 characters that should be added?
No, but I also think that like,
besides,
I also don't think they need characters. I also don't think they need to do another one for like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like 10 years to grow fond of a couple new characters and find some new folks, right? Yeah. Because or at least maybe 10's too many. But like if they're going to come back with a new Smash Brothers, let's say it's got 20 characters that are already in Ultimate. You've got to have at least like 5 to 7 new characters that have never been in a Smash Brothers game before. At least to even try to pull that off. And you need like good single player, and you probably need to spin up some multiplayer.
How do you even decide who gets cut?
Well, that'd be up to them. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, they would just have to figure that out.
There's going to be so many people that wouldn't buy it because their main is not in it.
Think about, like, let's say the next Switch is a 6 to 8 year console span. Think how many Fire Emblem characters they'll have to choose from between now.
Stop it.
I mean, that's 5. You get 5 Fire Emblem characters right out of the box. Like, you're good to go. But yeah, some solo player, and honestly, here's a big one. Just hitting the top of my head here. It could come with like an enhancement to like their online multiplayer at some point, like maybe on the next system or the system after that, whenever they try to do, you know, something like maybe their online gets a lot better. And then maybe they're like, hey, we have a brand new Smash. Like it's taking advantage of our brand new online multiplayer. And it's like redesigned to be better competitive play. I could see that being like a focus of their next thing. Maybe they have like a new arena gimmick, you know, like Nintendo loves doing that. Maybe they come up with like a new arena gimmick. Maybe they do, I don't know. Yeah, like they don't really do assists and tag team things. I'm trying to think of like what other fighting game things they do. I could see them doing like
fighting games to know.
They could do like a Mortal Kombat thing where if you smash a character, like you smash them into a different level or something like that. Like I could see that be a thing. Like Injustice and Mortal Kombat have done that for a long time. They could rip off something like that and like kind of make a new game around that with some new characters. But yeah, I mean, the sad part is I honestly think you could just see Ultimate just being like at Evo for like 50 years. It's so really
hard. I mean, drops dead.
It really is Ultimate. It's really hard to top what they've done. It's pretty incredible. So
it is a big discussion. You could talk for 3 episodes about this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just with how big. And I wish I knew more about the ins and outs of Smash to be able to talk about it more. I'm only a very, very, very casual Smash fan. But it is very interesting because I feel like there are very few games that are so closely tied to its developer the way that Smash is.
Yeah. I do think they could do a Smash that's like, and they kind of market it like the first Smash without Sakurai. And like, it goes one of two ways. Either you land it and people wrap their arms around it, or like so many, like I see this all the time in like horror movies, which I love. They remake a series without the creator. And most of the time people hate it. They hate it before they even know, before they even see it. They hate it because the original cast or the original director or the original writer isn't there.
I think that in order for something like that to be successful, we would have to already know and love the producer for it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about how so many people would adore it if Toby Fox stepped in to help with a new Mother game or a redevelopment of the Mother series, because we already know and love him and know that it would be in good hands. Trust that he would do. Of course, there will be some people that wouldn't like it just because it's not the original. It's not a, you know, the original developers, but
It would help to have Sakurai's blessing.
Best chance. Yeah.
And if Sakurai was like, this person knows what they're doing, and I've got a lot of faith in them to pull it off.
Yeah. I'm sorry. My cat is hungry. He knows it's dinner time and he's reminding me.
He's like, hey, food.
We have a couple quick headlines before we answer some chat questions directly from you. Sea of Stars has gone gold. Ooh, yay. We love that. We love to see it. It's coming out August 29th. Feels like they've been working on this game forever and a day, and it is finally ready to go in exactly 1 month from today.
It's having a moment, right? It's going to come into Game Pass. It's on PlayStation Plus. So many people are going to have access to this game to play it. So
I'm seeing more buzz about it, which is good. I don't want this to be like a gem that kind of goes undiscovered by the masses. I want this to be in conversations at the end of the year for the best games of the year.
Every platform has a demo available, so everybody can play it. And I was just telling Dev, and I was like, this is huge news. So Rebecca's been talking about this game all year long, so hopefully people will play it.
Yeah. To add on to the topic before about Metroid Dread selling over 3 million copies, when Mercury Steam was asked if they are working on a new Metroid title, they said, no comment.
Yeah, I think they are.
I love the non-answer. They should. I think it would be a mistake for them not to be working on a new Metroid.
Yeah, I wanted to say it's kind of easy money for Nintendo, especially if they can keep contracting with Mercury Steam. Like, they've proven that they had something, that they were good at it, that people liked it. I think the marketing was well. You know, it may not be a juggernaut in terms of Nintendo Switch sales, but they got to hit singles too, right? They can't just focus on releasing 10 million sales games. That's why, you know, the Metroids and the Pikmins and the Yoshis and the Kirbys have a, you know, have a place. So, yeah, I'd rather Mercury Steam do it than, you know, an internal studio. Let them do it.
They did a fine job with Dread. I would definitely put it in their hands.
Yeah.
Pre-orders for the physical versions of Castlevania Advance Collection are now live over on Limited Run Games.
Get them
while
you can.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
They got a bunch of different versions. The Advance version, the Ultimate version, the Regular Edition.
I'm going to the Limited Run store soon. Physical store.
Yeah. Make pictures. I'd love to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I will. I found out it's only open
or something while you're doing it.
I will. It's only open on weekends. Did you know that?
I did not. I know it's nearby. It's in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew it was nearby, and I was scheduled to go to North Carolina, and it got canceled during COVID. But when I was scheduled to go, I was planning on like trying to do that. I did not know that it was open only on weekends.
I'll take pictures, videos, everything for you. I'll FaceTime you during it.
I love that your cat knows that you're like connected to this computer, to this web. Like, he knows, like you do so much streaming or pie. Like, he's like, nah, she's busy and I'm here to interrupt this.
This is his dinner time right now. I should have fed him before we started. I'm so sorry.
You're fine. You're good. It's a podcast, not a video cast.
You gotta love our Pokemon rumors.
Yeah, they never end.
This one's coming from CentraLeaks. They're actually reliable. I like them. A line of code was found in the latest update, I can't read today, for the mobile game Pokemon Masters X. It refers to an in-game campaign relating to Pokemon Presents presentation. The data mine suggests August 8th, which is not next week, but the following week.
I mean, it'd be really weird for that to be in there and it not be true, right?
Why would that be in there, though? Why would that be in the data for Pokemon Masters X?
So they're probably preparing like a adding splash page or an asset. Yeah. No, it's like, like in the game, they're preparing to have like a banner or something show up. So if they have like Pokemon Presents and they're going to have like some new thing you can buy or a new campaign or a new trial or something, they're adding it to the game to be there so when they go live it goes live.
That makes sense.
It'd be weird for it to be there and it not be true. Like, the date could probably move, but it'd be weird for them to add an asset And I saw the code, unless it's completely false, which CentralLeaks has a good track record. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they made it up. It'd be weird for it to be there and it not be true. So I'll side on the believability.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because we will get information about the DLC for Scarlet and Violet. There's still stuff that we need to know about Detective Pikachu. Isn't that coming out this year?
Yep.
I feel like they barely showed anything about that. That in itself could be a direct with, you know, updates to Pokemon Masters.
Definitely could be a Pokemon direct.
Pokemon Sleep. Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen worse.
We've seen much worse.
Is there any reason to hold any hope that they might see anything about Nintendo Switch online support with any old Pokemon games?
If they do that, it'll be at an increased price.
You don't think they would just throw Pokemon Yellow in the Game Boy package?
No.
Maybe it works with their Nintendo Pokemon subscription thing that they've got?
If they can get more money out of you, they will.
It worked on the 3DS, so I'd imagine you could still transfer Pokemon using the Virtual Console or NSO versions.
No, I'm over that. My dream for the next Pokemon Direct is to say that Scarlet and Violet DLC is canceled. They are adding DLC to new Pokemon Snap. I blew up that game the other day. That was fun. And I want them to do Let's Go Johto remake. Yes, it was good, actually. And you are in the vast minority that thinks that it's a bad game.
That's okay. It's nothing new for me to be in the minority. But I was very let down. Very.
I know.
So I would love anything Let's Go. That would be amazing.
Johto. Please. We don't need so a Gen 5 excited. Remake yet.
I think the Arceus thing is I think you're going to get another one of those.
Ooh, give me a Pokemon Legends Celebi.
And if it were me, I would love to see that on better hardware. But I think I don't know why. I think that's probably like their next like offshoot. I think you'll get another Arceus game and then the mainline game.
Yeah. But who knows? I don't know.
I'm definitely not very good at predicting what Pokemon stuff. I think they have do they have a pattern of releases?
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Do like
anymore.
The mainline one and then the remake and then the spinoff. And
yeah, we're due for a remake, but it feels soon.
I'll tell you what we're due for. We're due for like another Pokemon Quest whatnot, like another little eShop spinoff game. And I would love for it not to be like a cupcake or coffee maker or any sort of bakery thing. Like it would be nice.
Or an MMO.
I would like Pokemon Quest 2, if I could be honest. I love Pokemon Quest. I would like another one. It'd be great.
Is that game worth starting in 2023?
I liked it a lot. I don't think people, again, maybe in a minority. But I was like addicted to it for a while, put a lot of money into it.
Did you really?
Not like crazy amounts, but like I think I probably paid $30 or $40 for that game. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was really digging it. Like I beat it. I had a lot of fun. People remember? I know everybody made fun of it when it was shown, but it was a lot of fun. So yeah, I was into it and really, really, really loved it. Ooh, Kyle says HD 2D Pokemon. I mean, I would lose my mind. Yes.
Oh, I would lose my mind.
Here's Pokemon Yellow 2D HD. Oh my God. That sounds amazing.
I asked you if Pokemon Quest is worth starting in 2023 because as Josh Jepson says in chat, he's playing it right now. He started it yesterday.
See, good. He's got good taste. My man knows what's up because Pokemon Quest is fun. It's a lot better than new Pokemon Snap. That's for
Shut
sure.
Shut up. Don't say that. That's false.
I'm speaking the truth. I don't want to say it. I don't want it to be true. I'm not rooting again. I was so excited. I jumped out of my seat when I saw Pokemon Snap on that direct. I was so excited and then so thoroughly let down.
I don't know why. It was a fun game.
It was boring.
It wasn't boring.
All of the fun secret making people electrocute each other and fall in the water. And like, I found none of that. I found no fun secrets.
You didn't look hard enough. You're just a bad gamer.
True. I've never claimed to be good. Maybe that's why I like Pokemon Quest.
I'm joking. You're not a bad gamer. hit us with some questions.
Sure. G-Man says, if Nintendo were to make a summer game involving their characters, totally not happening, what would be a great idea for them to make?
I like summery kind of games. Like, I feel like I think of, like, Super Mario Sunshine. I think of Pikmin as a summer game. I don't know. It's just Pikmin's a bright, what else do I think of as a summer game?
Wave Race.
Hmm. Wave Race is a good summer game. Yeah. Yeah. What if they did Wave Race with, like, with Nintendo characters? Like, that'd throwing be cool. Mario, I'm in. Throwing Link on a jet ski.
I'm down.
That would be cool.
They should do, I mean, I've always wanted them to do Diddy Kong Racing. They should bring Diddy Kong Racing back, but it not have, like, carts. There's no wheels. Like, it's all planes and, like, hover boats and jet skis.
That'd be cool.
And you just do that. And then you separate it from Mario Kart, and then you get two kart racers instead of one.
That could be a good way to keep them separate.
Yeah. My answer, as all great RPG fans know, that Garrett, this one's for you, buddy. Every great RPG waifu game has beach DLC. And we just get beach DLC for Fire Emblem. We just put everybody in swimsuits and we put them on the beach, and it's just more Fire Emblem with new romance options. Piece of cake. Summer game nailed. Nailed it.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Garrett, he says, what's the next RPG you'll play on the Switch?
We all know the answer to this one. It's Sea of Stars.
Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer. I think I've got a few RPGs on my wish list. Let me open it.
Sea of Stars.
It's not on the wish list.
Oh.
Haven't played the demo. Have Game Pass. Probably won't even try it. Okay. Probably, if I had to really, like, honestly try to guess, probably Dragon Quest Monsters. Probably. And even then, that's like, maybe.
Oh, that's that one. That
it's was Dragon Quest that. Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's coming out, I think, in January, I think.
You really I'm don't still, like RPGs. You're not going to get Super Mario RPG?
No, I got my deal at Best Buy. I got Metal Gear, I got Mario Wonder, and I got WarioWare instead of RPG.
Okay. I approve. Yeah. I definitely approve of that.
There was an announcement a couple years ago that I can't remember if they've ever, I don't think they've updated us on it at all. I keep bringing it up every so often when we talk about, like, direct predictions and stuff like that. But you remember a couple years ago they announced, like, Dragon Quest, like, 2D HD remaster? Dragon Quest, yes. Like, 4 or 3 or something like that? I wanted to buy that game. Like, I want to play that. I like Dragon Quest games. I don't want to replay Dragon Quest games, but I'd like to play a 2D HD remaster of one. Mm-hmm. And it just never showed up.
That's still not out?
No, I don't think it ever came out.
Oh.
There's Metal Slug Tactics, which got, like, infinitely delayed. Like, we've been hearing about that one for a long time. We've never had no idea when that's coming out. Yeah, that's probably it. Okay. Something like that. My Time at Sandrock, I might play someday on a discount. It's an indie game. I like the first one, like, its first version. So, yeah. That's it. I feel bad when I get asked RPG questions. I'm like, oof. I got nothing for you. Oh, on my Steam list, I've got Eternites, but it's not going to Switch. But
you've named more than I have, so.
I've got a waifu game called Samurai Maiden. It's on Switch, but it's like $70. Like, I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
Make sure I don't play that.
Yeah. Yarden says, Nintendo Shack is obviously your favorite shack. What's your second favorite shack? And he says, sorry, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel this week.
Shake Shack?
Shake Shack. That's what I was going to say to you.
What other shacks are there?
I mean,
I don't think I've ever eaten at Shake Shack.
I'll beat one. How about Shack as in, like, Shaquille O'Neal? It's my favorite shack.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Does that work?
Yeah, that works. I like that one. That's good. That's good.
And yeah, don't apologize, Yarden. If we don't get questions, then the podcast just becomes like 30 minutes long because Rebecca's busy. There's no news going on in like Switchland. So it's just us playing games. You know, like look at our news. Our news this week was like comments and we talked about a pre-order being available. It's just been this way for months. Until we get like new hardware or whatever, the news is going to be outside of directs. It's going to be pretty light. Kyle the Pug says, what's your favorite Zelda intro of all time? And this is a really good question that I was excited to hear you answer, but I got to ask, what does he mean? Does he mean like intro, like start screen cinematic? Or does he mean like intro, like you start playing the game intro? I don't know what
that's
he means.
That's a good question, and that makes a big difference.
It does. Yeah, it's a huge difference, because like my answer would change.
He's in chat. Maybe he can elaborate for us.
My answer would change.
Based yeah, mine on too. Like absolutely.
That. Absolutely. So, I don't want to just sit here and wait for him.
He said do all of the above. So
let's do start screen cinematics first.
Okay. I mean, obviously Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, it's up there. One of the best. Get the little horse, you zoom over, you got all the people walking around, you get the Ocarina of Time's really good.
Link to the Past is very nostalgic for me.
Link Between Worlds had a good little opener too.
Yeah,
but yeah, my
none
go-to
of them
answer
close to
yeah my go-to Ocarina, answer is Ocarina yeah. as well.
So however, intro. That is not anywhere close to the best beginning of a Zelda game.
What's your favorite opening intro?
I really like all the ones that get you playing right away. Like there's not a long lead up. Like you can just immediately have control over the character and you can like get going right away. Like a Link to the Past, like Wind Waker, you can get going right away. I like Wind Waker, the opening to that one when you start on Elsa Island. I do not like the intros to Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword. They're bad, they're slow, they waste my time. I hate them.
I like Twilight's.
I don't.
I feel like that's it's pretty like a divisive one, right? I think people
it
have good
2 hours to get to the first dungeon.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like when I first played it, I feel like I thought the same thing. When I first played Twilight Princess, I was like, this is absurd. Mm-hmm. And then when I played Twilight Princess Remastered, I was like oddly nostalgic for it. I was like, this is kind of awesome. Because
you don't even get a sword until like.
So I honestly feel kind of the same way about Wind Waker. While it'd be my favorite Zelda game of all time, Wind Waker is a bit verbose to open. You got to go, you know, climb down the ladder, climb up the ladder, go see grandma, come back, you like zoom in, get all the dialogue. You got to go do the little, you know, dojo to get your stuff. Then you got to go climb. Like, you know, it's a bit much before you really get the game going. I kind of feel the same way about Twilight, but the difference is it's just kind of cozy and wholesome. And I kind of like that. It's like you go fishing, you get a little cat game, you know, like you get to see the little kids playing.
No,
like
I was like,
it's kind of cute.
No, it's not. It's bad.
Oh,
I hate it. Tears of the Kingdom has a really good intro. And I know that contradicts what I just said about how you don't really like get to get going right away. There is a little bit of an intro there, but much the chills I got going down, like I was not expecting that game to open the way that it did, where you're with Zelda and you're walking down all the catacombs and like, you know, you're reading the stuff on the walls and she takes a picture and then you uncover Ganondorf there and it's one of the best intros for sure.
Well, I will counter you because my favorite intro in a Zelda game is Breath of the Wild.
I like that you can just get up and get going with that one.
Yep. I mean, I love the whole plateau experience, but I wouldn't call that the intro, but I think you could make the argument that you can. But I do love that you hit the shrine, right? You come right out. You get that opening, like, run out scene. We had waited so long to have that moment, and it did not disappoint. And then just to walk down that hill and talk, you know, and then to see the Temple of Time and everything. Yeah, like
it's special.
Yeah, it's special. It's got that Zelda magic that makes, you know, that elevates things. It had it. It had it, all of it, right then and there from the opening.
Yeah, it does. I agree. I also want to say for Majora's Mask, the only other 3D game that we didn't talk about, I like the intro where you're on the horse, the Skull Kid ambushes you, and then you find yourself in Termina up until that point.
Yeah.
But the first 3-day cycle is like makes me want to rip my hair out.
I don't like that game.
I know. I do.
Link to the Past, though, classic. You know.
Yeah.
I do like that. Yeah. So great question. Thanks, Kyle. And then our last question we'll end the show on comes from TPR. And he says, what's your favorite handheld option to play most, if not all, of your classic 2D Nintendo games? I think I'm going to use the Switch for all the 2D Zeldas, especially with the Oracle games hitting NSO. Accessing the classic blockbuster Nintendo franchises through NSO is just so convenient and with a beautiful screen.
Man, I don't even know anymore. It switches all the time. Yeah, that's a good one.
I love this little Game Boy. I use it so often. It's so convenient. It fits.
What's it called again?
It's called the RG35XX. It's Ambernic is the company that makes it. If you just type in Ambernic Amazon, I'm sure you'll find it. But it's just a sweet little Game Boy. I've got all my stuff modded on it. It has save states, like system resume for multiple games. So I'm sure my camera won't get it. Let's see here.
I should upgrade my Retroid. So
I can just jump through all these games that I have just on standby.
Yeah. How much did that cost you?
Oh, that's the best thing about it. It's like $70.
What? What's it called?
It's so cheap. It's called just type in RG35XX. You can get them in like Atomic Purple. I went with like the classic Game Boy look because I never had a Game Boy.
I might have to upgrade my Retroid. This is good. And it's cheap. Did you had to add games on it yourself?
It comes with games installed.
Did you add games?
I did. I was telling you about my friend.
Easy.
My friend did it. Remember I told him I gave him $30 and he sent me the card and I just plugged the card in. And here's the cool thing about it for you modders out there. It has 2 SD card slots. So like you can have your stuff on one and you can have like the original on the other and things like that if you want.
I just have the one.
Cause I don't like messing with that stuff, but I was happy that I paid my buddy and,
they don't have a Super Nintendo color version.
I would have bought that in a heartbeat. Yeah, they had Super Famicom.
That's upsetting.
It's grown on me. I originally bought it for Jack and Jack definitely still uses it a lot. But I may have to get him his own because we go back and forth, but it's one of those things where because it's so small, like it can fit in any pocket, right? I carry it with me. I don't. I literally throw it in like a cargo pocket or in my backpack. My backpack has like a protected, like a little protective sleeve inside of it for tablets.
Did you ship from China?
I bought mine on Amazon. I don't know where they come from.
I'm looking on their website.
No, I bought mine on Amazon. If you get it on AliExpress, you can save like $30. They're cheap on AliExpress.
Yeah.
They're like $50 on AliExpress.
Yeah, it's $56.
Yeah, I bought mine on Amazon. I think it's like $75 because I wanted it here like the next day. And because I can just throw it in my pocket, it's become kind of the go-to that I take with me when I leave. Because the ROG Ally is great, but you need a case.
Yeah.
You got to carry a case and like same thing with the Switch. Like this thing, like tomorrow is my wife's mother, my mother-in-law's birthday. So I got to drive up there and spend the day with them. I'm going to just throw this thing in my pocket and bring it with me. And it's just so convenient to be able to play a little something, something on the go.
I really
enjoyed it. I can't recommend it enough.
It plays up to
PlayStation 1 games and it plays PlayStation 1 games very well.
Yeah. I like that.
As somebody who plays like a lot of PlayStation 1 sports games, like while I'm on the go, like if I've got 10 minutes to play something, I'll play a game of NCAA or Madden or NBA Jam or something. It plays them very well. So it doesn't like chug to play them or anything like that. Play Clock Tower on it. A little Game Boy. It's like blew my mind. I was like, this is incredible. Yeah, for the amount of money invested and the ease, it's hard to beat.
I'm going to get the Atomic Purple.
It came with most every game that I could want on it. It just didn't have a ton of the PlayStation 1 games that I wanted, and it didn't have Mario games on it. but it came with Zelda on it. It came with Donkey Kong on it. It came with Pokemon on it. Like, out of the box, it came. Out of the box, it checked most boxes.
How did they get away with that?
I was wondering the
same
thing.
Don't tell people that.
Yeah.
Doesn't come with any games.
It comes with a game card.
They don't advertise that either. I think.
No, yeah.
Wow.
So, that's my favorite one. Like, if I was going to play Zelda Oracle of Seasons or whatever, I wouldn't even think to play it on Switch. I'd play it on this.
It has a good battery.
Yeah. I have booted up Minish Cap on it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, it's gorgeous on this thing. It's a really nice, big, bright screen.
Shit. Okay. Cool. You sold me.
Well, I thought you had, don't you have like the
The Retroid Pocket. Yeah, but
isn't that like the
nicer.
Better version?
No, I have the original version or the Retroid Pocket 2. Let me show you.
I was gonna say, I don't know if better is the right word, but isn't there like a,
I have Retroid Pocket.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking of. What was I thinking of? The analog pocket.
The analog pocket, but this, you need carts.
Oh, you can't run anything.
You can probably mod it to do that, but it doesn't, that's not the purpose of this.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because I was thinking the analog pocket is like, that's like the premium, like little handheld, right? Like that's the one everybody should want. Yeah.
This is for like legit stuff.
Okay.
And this has HDMI output with the docking station.
This does
this
too.
This is my emulation machine.
This has a little HDMI plug.
Yeah, so I'm going to be upgrading.
I've never used it. I have no idea what that experience is like.
Now, I do like the hands on either side.
Yeah, that's nice.
Instead of this.
Yeah, because I do, like, it's got triggers too.
Yeah.
So I got to do a lot of that. So
that's okay. The SP did that.
Yeah, I get used to it. The D-pad has, well, honestly, what I would say is like a decent amount of roll. And the reason I say that is, when you're playing a game that's stick based, the D-pad having like some movement to it is good, because you can, because you know, this doesn't have sticks on it at all. Like, at least with your Retroid Pocket, you've got some sticks.
Yeah.
This is just the D-pad.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I guess that makes it hard for PlayStation. No, PlayStation didn't have sticks, did it?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay.
But because this D-pad has a little roll to it, I feel like I can adequately play something with sticks, and I'm not like missing out.
Like N64 stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go feed my cat and buy that.
Fun times. Yeah. This show next week, I'm probably going to record it offline and just set it to premiere and go live on our regular time. Because I'm going to record it this week. And then actually, before we just depart, for the next couple weeks, I'm going to be off the show. So I got to move my schedule around. That's amazing, by the way. I love that. That's great. That should be the show. We should just have that the whole time. Yeah, I'm going to be off the show. So we're going to shake up the host. Rebecca's going to have some friends with her over a couple weeks. I'm not going anywhere. Don't fret or anything like that. I just got to move some things around to make some room for a friend of mine. And then I'll be back. So good times.
Sounds good. Thank you for your patience with me in this trying time.
All right. See you next week, Kooplings.
All right. See ya.
You ready?
All right. This is Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening, and I forgot the line already. What?